Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Housewives of True Crime. Housewives of True Crime. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to a new week.
A new week.
It hasn't gotten to a new week for me yet, but, or you, Gretchen.
I know.
In time travel, but I cannot wait till it does because I'm going on a girls trip this weekend.
I know. You're so crazy. You must really like this girl because a weekend in December is like,
oh my gosh,
hot
so
to come by. Big
hard.
Commodity. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. In fact, so let me, I might be a little brag obnoxious right now. How does it feel out there? Ran into a friend today who's like, oh, I'm going to go home and put up my tree. I'm like, oh, shoot. My shit's been done since Halloween. Okay. I'll be having cookies and cocktails every night, sucking up all the Christmas. Let me teach you my ways.
And aren't you like, okay, you're not going to have that long with that tree.
No, you're not. And let me tell you, there is still a lot to do. I still have, you know, like we have family out of state.
I've
got, you know, like mail packages. Like, it's like, if I wouldn't have gotten started when I got started, none of this shit would get done.
I know. I know. I have to get on the Christmas card thing. I'm going to do that on the airplane tomorrow. So if you are a Patreon listener or a bonus crime listener, then you get a Christmas card from us if you didn't know.
It might be a New Year's card. We've done that in the past, which I think is actually nicer because we get lost in the shuffle in Christmas.
It's so true. And you know what? I'm going to do that for my actual card this year for my family.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Okay.
It's a new year. It's new you. But anyways, I have two things to tell you that happened to me this week. One, I think you might relate to, or maybe I'm going to ask you if this has ever happened to you or anybody out there. Gretchen and I go to the same gym, just in different states. And I took that warrior sculpt class, right?
It's brutal.
It is brutal.
It's so like sweating. Yoga with weights in a hot room.
Your ass off.
Yeah.
And you know, they go like downward dog, up, go to the front of the mat. Well, this woman in front of me, instead of going to the front of the mat, she keeps going to the back of the mat. And you know what? They pack you in there like sardines.
They pack you in hard. Mm-hmm.
So I am like in her ass the whole time. And it super bugged me a lot because I'm like, lady, everybody's in the front of their mat. Like, why are you in the back in my space?
Yeah, I would find that super annoying.
Oh my gosh. I almost like I left early because I couldn't handle it anymore.
I don't like anybody's ass in my face.
No, me
and
either.
when I am having one of those like funky slow days, first of all, you pick like your number. I don't know if it's like that at your gym, but
yeah,
at my gym.
Same.
So your position, I always pick somewhere by the door. And if I am an embarrassment to myself or the class,
I'll leave.
I see my way out. Okay. Yeah. I do not put my ass in anybody's face on an off day.
Any day.
It's called courteous.
Yeah. I know. I know. Here's another thing that happened to me. Mm-hmm. I am trying to get fit. I mean, I've been on this fitness journey.
Yeah.
This
is something we don't relate to because I am totally the opposite. I gave it up and figured I would resume
in the new year. But no, I have this food delivery, mm-hmm. right? And the guy texted me, hey, it's like a local guy. So he's like, hey, I dropped your food off. And I only order like the lunches because that is where I get like off.
Yeah,
I'll
me
just
too.
Go through something that, you know, is junk. And so I'm like, yeah, it's not at my house. He's like, well, it's at this address. And I'm like, yeah, that's not my house. And he was like, well, my dad just died of cancer and I'm really sorry. And I'm like, okay, so do you want me to go get it? And he did want me to go get it.
Oh,
so did I you? Did.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. At 8:30 at night, I pull up to somebody's house that the food I could see, it's sitting on their doorstep. So I walk up and I mean, their living room is right at their door where I could see the lady drinking the wine, sitting on her couch, and the guy, like they're watching TV and mm-hmm. I'm like right on their Ring door camera. So do you think I should have told them that I was?
Yeah. I've been in this position multiple times where, I have learned my package was delivered somewhere else.
Oh, right.
I leave him a note that says, I promise I'm not
this was my
stealing
stuff.
This. My stuff was delivered to your house. Have a Merry Christmas, whatever. Also, not to be brag obnoxious again, but by the way, not really having that problem with the delivery mix-up. I have one, but a lot of that goes around this time of year. And if you did your Christmas shopping early, not so much.
Oh, I wanted to tell everybody about, okay, so one of our sponsors is Rakuten. Do you use it?
Yeah.
My girlfriend got $500 back for Black Friday shopping because they did some crazy, like a bunch of these stores gave way more percentage
cash back. Rates are at all time highs.
So you guys, seriously, we talk about it if you hear our ads, but it's called Rakuten. That's where you should be shopping through because you get to shop in all your regular places, but get cash back.
It's amazing. Cash back.
Yeah.
It adds up. Yeah. No, I do have one. I bought my brother-in-law a Yeti lunchbox for a real good deal.
Those are fancy.
From Walmart. Yeah. They're usually like $80 and this was like $60. So I was like, oh, that's such a good deal. I'm going to get it for him. Hopefully, I don't think him and his wife listen. So, and I apologize if you do and just found out that I buy your shit on sale. But I did. And I bought my husband one too, because I was like, oh, that's such a good deal. And maybe that dude will start packing his lunch if he has a nice lunch box, because, you know, he'd be eating like Carl's Jr. every day. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, no.
It's not very healthy.
And Carl's Jr. is the worst.
Like, it's the worst. Yeah. I need him to live. So anywho, said it got delivered. No, it didn't.
Oh.
I had to call up Walmart and they were like, okay, well, we're going to investigate. And they make you feel like a criminal. They're like, you know, we're going to contact the shipping company. I'm like, go ahead. You're not going to find a picture of it on my porch because it was not delivered to me. Okay. But like, what am I left to do? What am I left to do if I am out $120?
And because... it's not on sale anymore. So you can't buy it
not.
Again.
No, they sold out. So just some Walmart judge, like, can't we go to arbitration? Like, gets to decide whether or not I am like fraud-a-fucking them.
It's so sad. You're going to have to like, they're going to give you your money back and you're not going to get the deal.
I already realized that, but I was like, oh shit, I got to get these packages sent to Oklahoma because otherwise shipping is going to cost a butt ton. So I paid $80, got it on Amazon, but I didn't get my husband one too.
Oh my God.
Keep eating Carl's Jr.
Oh my God. I'm choking on Carl's Jr. Thinking about it.
Do you have a crime?
Okay, I do. Let's go.
Okay.
All right. This episode was recommended by one of our listeners, Elisa E-L-Y-S-S-A Scott. So thank you so much. I'm taking you to Missouri. I can't say MI crooked letter.
Yeah, it's a different state.
It's a different state.
Yeah.
To Monroe County. It's located in the northeast and it's best known for the birthplace of Mark Twain. It's pretty small, 8,700 people. It's a very agricultural area. There's more farm animals than humans living in this place. And you're kind of surrounded by a bunch of corn, wheat, soybeans, that kind of stuff. You can get the gist.
I got it.
The medium income is about $30,000, a little bit more. The homes around there, there's not a lot, obviously, for sale, but the ones that are range from like really cheap to like kind of expensive, even like $1 million expensive. And based on all this information, it's no surprise that this story unfolds along a gravel road in the middle of nowhere. This gravel road crosses a shallow creek. So, you know, when you're like driving through this area, if it has rained, you probably don't take this shortcut. Right?
Yeah.
Feels kind of like Costa Rica to me, because there was a lot of those roads when I was there.
Boys always want to drive through those like big wet terrain.
100% in their trucks.
And I'm sorry to be antiquated or whatever, but my girl brain is like, let's go a mile out of our way.
Long way around.
Trying to get stuck.
Well, on April 27, 2018, a man named Glenn McSparren wanted to take this gravel road because it shortcuts to his mom's house to drop off his daughter. And as he was approaching the road where you have to drive through this creek, he saw a car coming from the other direction. Those headlights were flashing like right into his eyes and blinding him. As Glenn pulled to the side to let the car pass, he realized that the car facing him was actually stopped. Then he noticed another car across the road, like more towards the creek area. And that car was facing the same way that he was, but was kind of off the road. He described the first car that was, you know, flashing the lights at him was like a big grandma car with an older man driving it. The man got out of the car and stood next to his door. And so Glenn rolled down his window to ask if someone was stuck down there. The man told him something like he didn't know where they were at and it's going to be a while, which didn't really make sense. He said the older man then indicated that Glenn should turn around and go the other way. So that's kind of what he did. He turned his truck around and took the longer route. When he got to his mom's house, he talked to his brother about this really odd encounter and then decided to take that shortcut back to his house so he could check things out again. Well, when Glenn drove up to the creek, he could see that same car. Remember the car that was like off to the side?
Mm-hmm.
And he noticed a woman's body was lying on the road in front of the car. Glenn called 911 immediately. And it was pitch black outside at this time. And it was the middle of nowhere. So surprising that he had cell service, because even in Dallas, I don't get cell service. But and when dispatch asked him to go check on the woman in the road, he did, but he was kind of scared, right?
Yeah, I was thinking that I would have been like, there is clearly a murderer on the loose.
I know, right? I know.
I will
so
be locked up in my car or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they would have asked a woman to do that. Maybe they would just ask anybody to do that. I don't know. Like,
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know what I would have done. I saw there was a guy flagging me down the other day off the side of the road. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hell to the freaking no. Am I going to pull over? So I called 911 and just said, like, somebody's needing help in the middle of the road. I'm not going to be the one to help them. But clearly this person wasn't moving. So Glenn got out of his car and did his, you know, due diligence.
You know what I think, actually? I think if it was during the daytime, of course, I would get out of my car and check on someone. But murderers are on the loose and during the daylight. Everyone knows that. And so you're perfectly fine.
Okay, so the one thing Glenn did have going for him was that he did have a handgun with him in his car. So he did grab that and he walked over through the water to where he could see the woman lying. He kept the dispatcher on the line with him while he went over and checked to see if she was alive. But he didn't really need to check her pulse. He could see right away in her eyes that she was gone. Mm. When Monroe County Sheriff deputies arrived. They surveyed the scene and noticed there was blood on the ground next to the driver's door and drag marks in the gravel leading to the body in front of the car. It appeared as if the woman had been bludgeoned, but actually she was just shot in the head. She was dressed in sweatpants and a tank top. She was barefoot, but moccasin-like slippers were lying in the dirt by the side of the car where the drag marks started. When deputies ran the plates on the car, the registration came back to a 35-year-old woman named Molly Watson. And it didn't take long until they were able to confirm that the deceased woman was Molly. Molly was wearing an engagement ring on her left finger, and her purse, her phone, her wallet full of cash, all was still in the car. So it didn't look like a robbery gone bad. As they went through the car, investigators discovered a marriage license from a neighboring county, Randolph County, on the front seat. The license showed Molly's name as well as her fiance, James Addy. The date of the wedding was April 29th, just 2 days later. Investigators talked to Glenn, you know, the man that found Molly, about how he found the car and body. And Glenn told them that he had driven up about 30 minutes prior and found Molly's car and body and provided a description of the grandma car and the older kind of guy. One of the investigators spotted a perfect tire imprint where Glenn said he saw this, I'm like in air quotes, grandma car in the mud near the creek. The tread print was very clear. So crime scene technicians took a casting of that tire print. They also found a white t-shirt nearby when they were kind of driving away. So they collected that.
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. Acorns helps you build your financial future in the background so you can focus on all your holiday shopping and parties. So genius. Another great thing about Acorns is you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or even just your spare change. That's right. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to the dollar automatically and invest your spare change for you. So that coffee you grab on the way to the mall, that's investing. And you get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. With Acorns, every single gift you buy this year could put more money in your investment account. It's like cash back, but the bonus investments have a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year's special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Lady listeners, are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you are, you are most definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormonal disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. They are in our food, water, the air we breathe. They are all up in our business, messing with our hormones, Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through, perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier through these changes. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. I've been taking Hormone Harmony for months and will keep on keeping on because it just makes life easier. I feel less stress, less bloat. And just even, I feel more like myself. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
Now, who is this Molly Watson and why would someone want her dead just 2 days before her wedding?
Oh, 2 days before her wedding.
Yeah.
I must have heard that after because I assumed you got the license after, but now I am recalling you have to go pick it up before. Yeah, that's right.
So Molly was a 35-year-old loving mother of a son who was born with cerebral palsy. She was funny, witty, a little awkward, which she didn't mind being. She said she was not nerdy, but geeky because geeks do what nerds know, which I kind of like.
That is funny.
I know.
Yeah.
And she was right. She like sewed things. She was into cosplay. She made nail polish. Girlfriend had a YouTube channel. She sang.
She sounds like you. I am almost like into cosplay now because I have so many different Christmas outfits.
Oh my gosh. You're so right. She kind of does sound like you.
Mm-hmm.
Side note, when I watched videos of her and stuff, like she seems like one of us. Like we would be friends with this chick.
Oh yeah.
She was a real disco biscuit. So she was not married any longer to her son's dad. She actually divorced before her baby was born. She was in her early 20s at that time, and that relationship wasn't a healthy one. So it ended pretty quickly. I think she was only married for like 2 years or something. And then after that husband, she had dated a woman who was like a longtime friend of hers. And she seemed pretty happy and in love with her. This lady's name was Amber, and Amber was great to Molly and great to Molly's son, Declan. Molly soon, after dating Amber, got a job at Moberly Correctional Center, where she would meet James Addy. They both were correctional officers. James was actually a lieutenant, which is much higher ranking than Molly, so I can see the appeal. While they worked together, Molly and James grew very close and eventually began a secret love affair.
At least it wasn't a prisoner.
In 2009.
I thought that's where we were going.
It wasn't a prisoner. Okay. We already did that case, okay?
We did multiple, I feel like, this year. So we're moving to 2025, then we can do another one.
Okay,
correctional officer banging a prisoner, but I'm hoping that's not where you're going.
No. These are just two correctional officers banging each other.
No shame in that game.
So James
I love banging a coworker.
James was going through a divorce and it was a long one. You know, sometimes that happens. They had two kids. It was messy, whatever. He told her that, you know, eventually it over the years, like the divorce was final. Molly and James would rendezvous at hotels, hiding their affair from Amber. Cause remember, she's still dating Amber at the time. And that was until Amber got wise to what was happening and showed up at the hotel that they went to.
I don't like eating pumpkin.
And busted them. When Molly opened the door to the hotel room, Amber was standing there and saw James like pulling up his pants, which
seems
like a total movie scene. Amber broke up with Molly over this affair, which I can imagine I would do too. And Molly moved back home with her parents. The work romance between James and Molly stayed strong as the time went on and they really got serious. They took vacations together. They went to Orlando. They went to Mexico. And then they finally made their relationship official when they got engaged in 2015. So this relationship went on for a long time. Okay.
Also sounds like they must be paying correctional officers fairly well in Missouri to be vacationing.
I know. I think they even went to Disney World. And so, yeah,
that's sure. A grip.
Go get a job.
Yeah.
At the correctional facility. You might even find yourself a love affair with a correctional officer.
With a, yeah, co-worker.
The wedding was going to be a Beauty and the Beast theme with a Renaissance kind of feel to it, which seems very Molly.
Okay. Maybe I will reserve my judgment.
Maybe we wouldn't be friends with her.
No. You know why we wouldn't be friends with her? Because we are such bitches. We would say like, girl, you're tripping on that. Let's grow it up.
I know.
And then she would be like, you're just mean. Yeah.
I know. It's so true. This is what our life is like right now. It's like, you cannot be honest with people. Mm-mm. Like I'm telling you, the second that you are honest with them, they turn it like you're a total bitch. And why would you ever say that?
Because you asked me.
I apologize that I'm honest.
Yeah.
Okay. So Molly was like over the moon about her wedding. She hired a wedding planner. She was going to make it the most beautiful day ever. Molly even had her hair and makeup artist lined up 3 years before the date. I mean, girlfriend was like on it.
Shit.
She wanted James's daughter to be in the wedding. Her name was Emma, and she wanted her to have her hair done by the same person. So it's real sweet. So it seemed like Molly Watson was leading like a nearly idyllic life, raising her son, getting married to the man of her dreams. So really, who would want to kill her? Like Amber?
Amber.
Is she harboring this jealousy? You think Amber? Okay, well, let's break for an ad. Well, at 2 a.m., after they found Molly, a state trooper arrived at James Addy's house to notify him that his fiance had been murdered. James answered the door wearing his bathrobe, but he wasn't home alone. There was a woman in the house behind him, also dressed in night clothes. And the woman looked at the trooper and asked, "Why are you here?" The woman's name was Melanie Addy. She was James Addy's wife. Oh. Melanie and James had been married for 19 years. They had a son and a daughter. And when they first got there, Melanie actually thought something had happened to her son because her son was in college.
Don't they be doing background checks at this correctional facility where they pay you so well in Missouri? And wouldn't everybody kind of like know that you're like married?
I don't know. I also question like, wait, you never have been to the guy's house? Like ever?
Oh.
I don't know. There's some questions.
Well, she had an affection for the ladies. Maybe she like really had an aversion to like smelly guy vibes. And I get that.
I get that. Yeah, sure. The state trooper took James into another room and asked him about his connection to Molly Watson. And James admitted to having an affair with Molly. And he said he loved her and that they were engaged. But yes, he was still married to Melanie, which you cannot be married to two people at the same time. However, I guess there's no real way or at that time. And it wasn't that long ago in Missouri to actually like figure it out. Like you just say, like you sign something that says like, I promise that I'm not married to so-and-so. So James explained to the trooper that he left his house to go pick up an avocado plant around 7 o'clock, but got home around 8:30. He also turned over to the police right away, a burner phone that he had hidden, away that he used to communicate with Molly on. The troopers questioned him, and when they were questioning him, James started to sweat, like, not like sweat, like, oh shit, I'm gonna like get in trouble, but like fucking sweat, like my yoga class.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Giveaway.
He had a different kind of ass in his face at this point. Mm-hmm. James told the trooper that he and Molly texted daily, including the day that Molly died. When the trooper reviewed the burner phone, he saw that James had placed a call around 8:26 that was 22 minutes long. Checking the text, the trooper saw that at 9:35, James sent a text that said, "What did you eat for supper?" A few minutes later, he sent a text saying, "I love you so much." And despite not getting any responses from her, at 10:52, he sent one last text saying, "Night, night, sweetheart. I'll talk to you in the morning." Which also, by the way, you would be like, "Hey, why didn't you respond to me?"
First of all, I like someone asking me what I eat. I'd give him a big fat nunya, like I've been getting from my kids lately. None your business.
None your business. What I had for dinner.
I had a frozen bean burrito. Okay. Don't judge me.
Right. She didn't have a Yeti lunchbox to bring the healthy snacks. Mm-mm. All right. James Addy's car, also a big four-door sedan, had Goodyear tires on it, and both the car and the tires were covered in mud. That wasn't the only thing that they started questioning around. They questioned this marriage license. Well, it turns out that the marriage license at the marriage license plate place had some concerns also. There one of the concerns, which I don't even think is like that big of a concern, was the age gap between James and Molly. He was 51 and she was 35. And if you've ever, like I just told you, if you've ever been through the like marriage license process, which was so long ago for us, and I don't remember this, but maybe they did. They ask you like if you've been married before. Well, James had been married before, 4 times.
Oh, it's his hobby.
I know, but then I'm like, how were you married to this woman for 19 years? What happened? The other three were like, I mean, wow. Okay. I think he went through three pretty quickly then settled down. The marriage license guy, he just said James gave him like a real strange vibe. And then after picking up the marriage license, Molly texted James saying, "Are you sure you want to marry me with my anxiety?" And he answered, "Yes, dear. Why would you ask something like that?" And Molly just replied, "Because when you were talking earlier, you sounded like you started to doubt your decision." And James wrote back, "Not even close, dear." Then he asked, "Are you changing your mind?" And Molly said, "Not at all." So then he said, "Then what?" And Molly said, "It worries me that you were changing yours." And he says, I wasn't. So during the course of the investigation, detectives also located, cards that James had bought for Molly that affirmed his love to her. All of this did not sound like it was coming from a guy with cold feet, right? It was obvious that Molly was excited about the wedding, and she had even bought two wedding dresses because she couldn't even decide which one to wear, which I totally get if they were not expensive. Molly knew that James had two kids, and she did meet Emma, but only once, Scratchy. Mm. She met her because she made a costume for Emma. James brought her over because she needed some sort of cosplay costume.
Okay, so now the cosplay thing is freaking me out, because I'm thinking the reason why she's not following through with, you know, meeting, you know, trust but verify this man that she's about to marry's life is because she's living in a little bit of a fantasy world.
This could be definitely true. This could. So I think you might be right.
Side note.
With that. Yes.
We're doing the boat parade.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you living in a fantasy world too?
Well, I've got all these costumes. I've got a different costume for every night of the week.
And, oh my God.
And I went to the meeting last night.
Okay.
And they're like, "You really got to shake your money maker, you know, give it all you got." Now we invited new friends out with us.
And
I tried on the costumes for my husband. Uh-huh. And he was like, "I don't know if you could do that." They might not be our friends anymore.
Yeah, that might be true. You can't do that with new friends.
But I want to win.
Oh my God. Maybe you just do it. Just be you. You know what I say? Fuck it. If they're not going to be your friends, sayonara. Don't even spend the time wasted. It's like, if they're not your friends after this, then thank God you only spent one day with them.
Well, the problem is that they're friends of my son and he ain't got no friends.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But I will be posting pictures in our Facebook group if you feel like joining, because I like to exploit whenever I get dressed up.
Yes. Okay. So that's called Housewives of True Crime Group. Make sure you put group in there because it's a private group, and just ask to be let in and we'll let you in. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Emma didn't know anything about she knew she had met Molly before, but she did not know that her dad was planning on marrying this woman or that this woman was even her dad's girlfriend. And Melanie also, dude, she had no idea. She was like fully blindsided by this guy. She had two kids with him, right? And she said when she met James, he was working at a convenience store she was working at a convenience store and he was a customer. He asked her out 6 months later. They got married, making Melanie his fourth wife. They had their son, their daughter. James fought with their son in his teen years, which does not surprise me because I also have a teenager, so I totally get it. But she said she never suspected James having an affair. He was very skilled liar. He and Molly went to Orlando, I told you, for vacation, but James told Melanie that he was going for some like sniper training and even fabricated an official looking letter to like show her.
Sniper.
Yeah, right. She's probably like,
I love all these con men. Just so you know, ladies, if you're dating a guy who tells you he's a sniper or special forces or spy or something,
he probably isn't.
He probably isn't.
The other trip, you know, they went to Mexico. Well, he said it was a guy's trip. And she kind of was like, okay, yeah, that sounds right. Most days James got off work at 3, but didn't get home until 5, which did turn into arguments sometimes, but she never really got, I think James was kind of a controlling guy. Right. So it's like,
but 5 is not that late, like whatever.
Yeah. Right. Like whatever, you're running errands, doing the shit you got to do. Which also surprises me. I'm like, girl, if he's not spending the night at your house, but maybe they were like one of those couples that like, he's like, I'm not going to actually like, you know,
she's what do you say? Fantasy land. Yeah. We're not going to like overnight.
Right. Right. After James was carted off by the police, Melanie did start going through everything in her house. They had a room above the garage that she didn't go into much. And apparently he used that space to store all of his stuff with him and Molly, which included photo albums and pictures on their vacation together. And so Melanie, you know, paid James a visit at the prison or jail, kind of the county jail at that point. And according to her, they were both in tears. James was apologizing for the affair, but insisted that he wasn't Molly's killer. But the investigation told a different story, right? The other thing that the investigators noted is that during this relationship with Molly, James had told Molly that Melanie was in a horrible car accident and on life support, but he was referring to Molly like, oh, my ex-wife was in a car accident and she has been on life support since the holidays. He didn't break that to Molly until 2 weeks before their wedding. He then told Molly that she died, that they had to take her off life support, and that her funeral was just going to be the day before their wedding, which all seems very strange because it makes me wonder, was he planning on killing Melanie?
Yeah.
And then didn't
he change his mind?
And change his mind. I think he was planning on killing one of them.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
The other thing that is strange is that Molly's family didn't really know James either. Only a few of them had ever met him. And James's brother, he said that he didn't even know James's last name and he was not going to go to the wedding until Molly texted him and said it was really important to her. And so he was like, okay, I'll go, right? A few days before the wedding, James went to the venue and dropped off centerpieces and actually made a payment. But I think that was just for like, to look like he didn't do it. Mm-hmm. Sam, the wedding planner, met him there and asked him if he was getting excited. And he said, Molly's driving me crazy.
Well, the wedding planner, in fairness, probably hears that a lot.
I know, right? So that's what I was thinking. The physical evidence in the case was piling up. Remember the t-shirt I told you that they found driving out? It had gunshot residue on it as well as Molly's blood. And it turns out that that t-shirt was made by Emma Addy herself, which was his daughter. And it was one of a kind because it was designed by her in her like digital arts class at school, and it like printed messed up. So there was not a second one that you could be found, you know, that was hers. An autopsy concluded that Molly had died as a result of a single gunshot wound to the back of her head. And that he actually put the gun to her head and fired it. The bullet was too mangled to be able to like match it to the gun, but they knew it was a smaller caliber. And when they went to Addie's home, investigators located a box of ammunition that was the same type as the empty box of ammunition that had been found at the scene. The tire marks on James's car, which I can officially be called a grandma car, matched the tire tracks in the cast like identically. Data downloaded from Molly's phone showed that she performed internet searches for Melanie's obituary and funeral after James had texted her that, you know, his ex-wife died. Well, she didn't find it, right? Mm-hmm. So she was finally getting wise. Him. Yeah, right. I know. Tracking data also showed that she was driving while she was on the phone with James during that 22-minute call that she made the night that she was murdered, which we think that she was driving to her death on the phone with him. One final piece of cell phone evidence showed that James texted himself on April 27th, and this is what he wrote. "Don't be a pussy, man. Let's go, man." Like he was like giving himself some sort of like pep talk.
That's weird, James.
James is obviously weird.
Yeah.
Physical evidence wasn't the only thing that pointed the finger at James. There was plenty of statements from people in his lives. When detectives questioned Melanie Addy, she recalled on April 27, 2018, James was just like he always was. Nothing stood out from ordinary. James told Melanie that he was going to a friend's house. It irritated her because she wanted him home. So she didn't wait up for him. She said she fell asleep, then got like when he came home, she didn't like have anything to do with him and went and slept on the couch because she couldn't stand his snoring, which no one can stand that. She was really surprised about her double life husband, but she was not surprised that he would go to murder to fix a problem.
Interesting. Do tell.
Very selfish. She also called him controlling and intimidating. James Addy went on trial April 2021 for the murder of Molly Watson. And the defense, all they could say was they disputed the like tire track evidence as junk science. During the trial, prosecution called over 20 witnesses, and Emma and Melanie, both his daughter and his wife, testified for the prosecution.
I love that.
At the end of the trial, both sides provided their closing arguments on April 29th, 2021. And what would have been, which is so weird, which would have been their 3-year anniversary had they got married. James Addy was found guilty of murder in the first degree and armed criminal action. During the sentencing, James read, so you know how like they let the guilty party like read something if they want to like speak?
Yeah.
He read a letter that he wrote to Molly where he called her the love of his life. Like, what a fucking asshole.
Well, he probably still said he was innocent.
Well, but he's not.
Well, I agree with you, but he doesn't want to stand up there. He wants to go out. You know, they say they're, look at OJ. They're going to say they're innocent till the day they die.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, I do want to play a little bit of statements from Molly's brother, which is very sad. So I'm just going to let you hear it. And then I am also going to play you a letter that was written by Molly's son.
I just want to say Molly was my best friend and sister that I will never see again. This monster took her from not only I, but all the family and friends that love her. This horrible tragedy caused my mom to go over the edge before she passed away this year. She was diagnosed with severe psychological trauma from Molly's murder. My dad had been taking care of my mom for over 2 years, dealing with the stress of a murdered daughter and a wife of 50 years that sometimes couldn't recognize him. The stress from that took his life in September of 2020 of a heart attack. The heartache and stress of it all has taken a toll on all of us. Molly had the world in front of her. She was taken from us way too soon. I truly believe if he had have chose to break up with her instead of murder her, I would still have my sister, my mom, and my dad with me. I just ask, plead with the jury to give this monster the max sentence possible. He chose to take her life without mercy, and I ask the jury to not have mercy on him. Thank you.
A letter from Declan. Today, I was asked to write this letter, and I wasn't sure what to say until now. You took one of the most important people in my life away from me. She was an amazing, smart, and beautiful person. And sure, she wasn't a perfect person, but nobody is perfect. And she wasn't a perfect mom, but being a mom isn't about being perfect. It's about making good decisions for your child, and that's what she did. And I believe she only ever made one real wrong decision, which was believing in and trusting you. And you just kept lying to everyone around you. The only reason she believed you was because she loved you and looked past your flaws and was probably willing to walk to the end of the earth for you. And you couldn't be a little bit honest with her or anyone for that matter. That means you are the kind of man who is a coward, who has no regrets about his past actions, and you are willing to move on to the next person like they are just an object. And my mother was no object.
Are you in tears yet, Crutchy? Yeah. It's awful. James Addy was sentenced to life in prison without parole plus 10 years. He immediately appealed, claiming inadequate defense. He also disputed this like tire track junk science, he says. In November 2022, James Addy's sentence was upheld by the appeals court, thankfully. Melanie filed for divorce, thankfully, also. And both Emily and Emma were on the Dr. Phil show in 2023, where they discussed how the struggle to reconcile knowing James as a husband and father and how they both helped to put him behind bars, which I do think has to be a struggle. Like I told you, I don't think I told you when Molly was born, but Molly was, full name was Molly Nicole Watson. She was born on December 15th, 1982 in Moberly, Missouri. Her parents were Tim and Sandy. And, if you caught this from her brother's reading, both of her parents died after she was, murdered due to the fact that she was murdered. She has her brother, Tim, and she did have an older sister named Heather who died as an infant before Molly was born. Molly was super smart. Like I told you, she was, you know, quirky, but she also had a bachelor's degree and two master's degrees.
That is smart.
Or she had one master's degree and she was working on another, but she was like super smarty pants. She was creative and she was really just lover of life kind of person. So that is the story of Molly Watson. So rest in peace, Molly. And I really do pray for your son and the rest of your family that is still living.
Yeah. That's a rough one. What a dick.
I know. It was a downer of case. I'm sorry.
But it really comes back to, you know, just don't cheat on your wife.
Seriously, don't cheat on your wife. And we have to do some due diligence. Like when we know somebody, you guys, listen, I background check everybody. I'm like, do I know you?
Now.
Let me look you up.
We didn't start off that way.
Oh, hell no. No. So we live and learn, right? But learning early is key. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you for listening. If you guys need Christmas presents, we are still shipping out at Five Crimes. Go to www.fivecrimes.com. And it's FIVE crimes. Your people will love it. Anybody and everybody. I was going to try to get merch out, you guys, but the place that I was ordering merch from, all of a sudden just closed shop. So that was a true bummer and a half. So we'll work on that for the new year. If you listen on Apple, I'm going to create a Gmail for you. Where I will send you a link out because I don't have your information. But if you listen on Patreon or Spotify, I do have your information and I will send something out ASAP so you can send me your address. And if you don't listen to our bonus content, now's the time because we send you something fun.
We send you something and we do not use your address to
for your emails. Yeah, we do not.
Or anything.
Or your address.
We don't even we send very few emails.
We do. It's true. We should probably send more. But we also just thank you guys for listening. And if you please tell a friend, we would love that. And or a coworker or even an enemy. Got lots of those these days. Anyways, happy days in December. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.